This is when we tell you that the Ira Kaufman podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. But Bill Curry Ford is much more than a car dealership. They are a tremendous family-owned business for the last 60 years in Tampa. Great community supporters of all kinds of efforts. And general manager Sean Sullivan, he will help you personally. He's a Bucks fan like you, and he wants to give you a discount. He wants to navigate everything for you as best he can. Email him, call him, stop into the dealership, Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. BillCurryFord.com is the website. C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com.
Most Buck fans are not going to agree with what I'm about to say. I got a reputation to preserve. I still can't feel my teeth. I hope they're still there. I can just hear Buck fans saying, "What are you talking about, Ira?
Get your head out of your ass."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, week two of June, and you know what that means. He never stops. He's the custodian of Canton, the king of Newport Richie, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. And the man of the hour, Ira, how are you?
Guys, every podcast I'm going to start with the word of the day. Word of the day, last week it was jubilant. Today, the word of the day, Novocaine. Novocaine. I had a little sensitivity problem with one of my teeth, and when I was drinking cold stuff the last few days, it was bothering me. I knew that wasn't a good sign. I had a Bramosa at Big Storm Saturday night. Tasted great, but, you know, it was bothering that one tooth. I knew I had to check it out.
No. Ira, don't even suggest that Bramosa or any of the fine products at Big Storm give you a toothache.
It was nice and cold, Lee. That's the point. It was nice and cold, and it was bothering me. So anyway, I went in today to my local dentist. The guy's great. And I was just going to make an appointment for later in the week. And I find out that, you know, I got there about 2 o'clock, and whoever had the appointment at 2 o'clock didn't show up. Never called, never showed up. They waved me inside. Within 90 seconds, I'm laying flat on a table. No, this is not... This is not Jeffrey Epstein, ladies and gentlemen. This is me in a dentist office.
Or Prince Albert or whatever the hell the guy's name is.
That's right. And Alan Dershowitz and all of those characters. And Bill Clinton, of course. You know, they're all involved. So anyway, this guy loves the Novocaine. He absolutely loves it. He shoots you up. My tongue, it's been 2 hours later, 3 hours later. I still can't feel my teeth. I hope they're still there. He got it done in 45 minutes, and guys, I don't know if you've ever had a cavity near the gum line. It's a little bit different, a little more complex, I think, but he fixed me up good as new, and I might have a tropic pressure later on today just to test it out, but I did the Bramosa on your behalf, because normally I'm a tropic pressure man at Big Storm. It was outstanding, Lee, outstanding.
Good to hear.
All right, Ira, you really know how to liven up the crowd with your dental stories and who you're mourning this week. I mean, come on, Ira, this is football season's around the corner.
Where else are you going to get a Jeffrey Epstein a reference over there, gentlemen? And by the way, we watched a new show last night because we're running out of shows to watch. I don't know if you guys are into it. It's on Netflix. You ever heard of Ozark? Ozark.
Oh, that I tried watching that. I got maybe through 3 or 4 episodes, and it got way too weird. And
that first episode was a little weird all by itself over there, Steve. It was about money laundering and drugs, and, you know, it made me think of you a little bit, Isbitz. But
Steve isn't putting people in a barrel of acid to make them disappear. But that was a good. That was a fantastic episode. It really was.
I'm only one episode deeply. One episode.
Okay. Well. About, I think it was the 4th, maybe 5th, it got so dark and so weird, and I'm done. You'll find out that one of the characters is like some 14-year-old trailer park trash, and she's trying to get over on professional gangsters. Give me a break. No.
Don't give away the plot over here, DeCamper.
I'm not giving away any right. plot.
And, Steve, we don't want dark, Steve. This is a light podcast. The Bucks are... According to your quickie poll, Isbitz, the Bucks are going to win 10, 11, or 12 games. How do you like that?
Ira, your podcast, it's presented by Bill Curry Ford. The Great American Recovery at Bill Curry Ford gets you an extra $1,000 off every new vehicle leased or purchased. It's their way of saying thank you. And, of course, the 0% financing offers continue on 2019s and 2020s into June. They won't last forever. BillCurryFord.com. Our buddy Sean Sullivan is the GM. People have heard his name, but he is a diehard Bucks fan, a diehard great guy. And he will help you personally. Email, call him, stop in. They just care first. Family-owned dealership. It's just really wonderful over there at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium. Great pre-owned selection. And, of course, they have a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Ira, the poll that you speak of. Now, just a little quickie poll on JoeBucksFan.com. Got about 500 replies in the 90 minutes or so. And 34%. Answered the question of how many wins do you think the Bucks will get this year. 34% went with 11, 33% went with 10, and 14.6% went with 12, Ira. The fans are fired up. I mean, what do you make of this after what they've seen now? They've digested Tom Brady. They've digested some of the moves around the league. They've digested turmoil in New Orleans. They've soaked it all in. They've looked at the teams. What do you think?
Guys, as if we needed more confirmation of Brady mania in Tampa. And it's another sign, and a strong one, a tangible one, that people in this town have not been this excited since 2003. And I think you could make an argument. Expectations are as high as they were in 2003. Now, I'm looking at this roster. I don't see Brooks. I don't see Sapp. I don't see Rice. I don't see Barber. I don't see Lynch. I don't even see Shelton Quarles, gentlemen. Not to mention Keyshawn and Dilger and Keenan McCardle and Brad Johnson, but
you're missing someone big.
And John Gruden on the sidelines.
Someone almost as big.
An all-star. There you go.
Instead, you got Dari.
You add up those top three, it comes out to 80%, maybe a tick more. 80% of the people that have responded to our quickie poll, gentlemen, believe the Bucks are going to be double digits in wins. Now, you guys have asked me what I think. I probably should have retired the mantle in 2017 because I said the 2017 team was going to win 10 games, and why not? Coming off a 9-win season, young team, only going to get better, and we all saw what happened. So that team didn't have Brady, I understand. A lot of things can go wrong, but as far as our fan base is concerned, boy, expectations are, they're off the board, Lee.
Kind of fun, it's rubbing off on me. I'm a little more tempered. I do think they should win no less than 9 games. I do think they should be a wild card. And if they're not, as far as not making the playoffs, that is a major disappointment, I believe. I really believe that.
No question about it. Now, Steve over there is hoping that this Drew Brees' national anthem issue, tears apart the New Orleans Saints. And, Steve, maybe there's something to be said for that. The backlash was immediate, and it was extreme. I'm talking about Brees' teammates, especially Malcolm Jenkins, who has just rejoined the Saints after, 5 years in Philadelphia. It was a big offseason acquisition. They're counting on him to really, be the leader in that secondary. And I'll tell you what, I think it's tough for Malcolm Jenkins to walk back some of those remarks.
Sage, the podcast, people can listen to the last episode. We touched on that a little bit, and it's in there. They can find it at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Play, other platforms at JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, I'm more interested in your buddy Rick Goslin, the Hall of Fame voter. And Goslin, he's a Hall of Fame voter, right, Ira?
Absolutely.
I just want to see if you were still awake there. Now, I was listening to him, the other day. He's got 48 years covering the NFL, and he does his annual preseason rankings. Now, Goslin, of course, he's the guy. A great story came out. He was sought out by Bill Belichick, advice, and he does.
He used to be a draft guru over the Dallas Morning News.
Yeah, he was.
You're right. Belichick would call him. A few days before the draft to update his
list.
Yeah, which is one of the greatest stories of all time when that came out a couple of years ago. And Gosselin
and
also...
Steve, he's also the guy that does the special teams rankings every year.
Yeah, he does the special teams rankings. It puts a lot of effort into that. He's the only one who does anything close to that for special teams. And he also does preseason rankings. He does his off-season poll, preseason poll that he puts a ton of effort into. And this year, it came out last week, and he had the Bucs 10th. And he did an interview, no big deal. Okay, he's got the Bucs 10th. But I heard him do an interview on SiriusXM NFL Radio about that, Ira, and he explained that the Bucs and the Bills are who he really agonized about. Those were his turning point teams, and he really studied it and did extra work on those two teams, and he ended up putting the Bills 7th and the Bucs 10th, primarily because of their defense, and primarily because he studied it and he decided, you know what, if the Bucs were just the same team without Brady and without Gronkowski, I'd probably have him 20th or 24th. And he really was not high on the Bucs with Jameis. So, so he's putting a lot of stock there. But I thought it was interesting, Ira, that he's got the Bucs as 10th, but he still has six teams in the NFC ahead of them. So that would put them 7th. That would squeak them into the playoffs under these new rules. You think that's fair from your buddy Gosselin, that they're the 7th best team in the NFC? I don't think most Bucs fans would agree.
Well, most Bucs fans are not going to agree with what I'm about to say, which is, under normal circumstances, normal, a Rick Gosselin, as respected as he is, picking the Bucs as the 10th best team out of 32 would generate a march up and down Dale Mabry in jubilation for Bucs fans. And having them squeeze in for a wild card, again, would touch off mass hysteria in downtown Tampa after what Bucs fans have been through. Think about it. 12 years without a sniff, playing past January 3rd or whenever the regular season happens to end that particular year. No chance for the Super Bowl. You're not in the tournament. You're nowhere. You're picking in the top 10. You're picking 5, you're picking 9. So what is so terrible about being 10th? It gets you in the playoff chase. And, Lee, I've said it many times. Get in the damn tournament with Brady and his 30 postseason wins, and you got a damn chance to do some damage. Instead, I can just hear Buck fans saying, what are you talking about, Ira? They got to win the division. They're the third best team in football. Lee, can you provide a little perspective and back me up a little bit?
Monday morning, I did a spot with Jeff Cameron, our friend at ESPN in Tallahassee. And it was I assume it's being broadcast Monday afternoon. But anyway, we were talking about the Bucs playoff chances. And he said, hey, with the playoffs, only thing you need to do is make the playoffs, make a couple big plays a game, and you could advance. And I never really thought of that before, but how dead-on accurate is that? How many playoff games recently have we seen where two or three plays, big plays, granted, and that's the game? And, you know, Minnesota with that, what they call it, Minneapolis Miracle, and it wasn't about police stations getting run over. It was about them beating the Saints. And the Saints had a big play. Rams had a big play that came out of nowhere. Of course, it was a blown interference call. So I thought Jeff Cameron was, I thought that was a dead on comment. Get into a playoff game, keep it close, just make a big play or two, you get advanced.
Lee, I'll give you a very graphic example, and we don't have to go back to, 2014. And I was at this game. Did anybody really think Tennessee had any chance to beat Baltimore in Baltimore?
Yeah,
I know I didn't. I was just waiting for the final score. I mean, the Ravens had a hellacious team during the regular season.
Yeah.
They were the number one seed for a reason. They had the MVP. They had a real good defense. They're playing at home. And they got trampled. They were never in the game. That's a game that didn't even turn. It's a road game that didn't even turn on one or two plays. They didn't look like the same team. Derrick Henry went crazy. They couldn't stop him. Tannehill made a couple of passes. A couple. Not like he dominated the game. So, Steve, I just think that being 10th out of 32, while I understand while some members of Buc Nation would be very disappointed in that, it sure shows a heck of a lot of improvement over what we've had here.
Well, I wanted to see what you thought, Ira. I mean, look, you get to the playoffs if you're playing better toward the end of the season, which I think every Bucks fan, myself included, thinks this team should be playing better later in the season. You know, then you got a shot. It doesn't take a ton to think that Tom Brady might have some success in the playoffs, and a little success, all of a sudden you're in the NFC Championship game. So,
you know, Steve, for those that want to dismiss, you mentioned Buffalo. Who the heck's Buffalo? Well, first of all, they made the playoffs last year. They got a heck of a defense. They got a better defense than the Bucks. They played a lot better defense than the Bucks did most of last season. And they got a young and improving quarterback. He's not bad. What their problem was, they didn't have a lot of weapons around them. But another factor, I think at this point, guys, I don't think it's a stretch to consider the Saints a better team than the Patriots. So from the divisional standpoint, the Bucks face a tougher challenge.
Well, you look at Buffalo, Ira. I mean, Josh Allen, he was so overwhelmed in that playoff game that it made you feel like he has so far to go. But, you know, it's Buffalo. Who cares? I wouldn't be that excited if I was a Bills fan, but I'm not a Bills fan, Ira. I thought it was interesting.
They got a really good defense and a good defensive coach.
I think they're more excited that Tom Brady's out of the division. Everybody in that division is going bananas. And, of course, ironically, Leslie Frazier calls the defense up there and has been given even more power. So, you know, hashtag lovey. Ira, he's got the 49ers and then the Packers and the Seahawks at 4, 5, and 6. And just to finish off the list, the Saints are his top team at number 3. And then you cruise down, you got Buffalo 7, and then he's got the Vikings, Dallas, and the Bucks. So, you know, it's competitive, it's fun, and that's why we all can't wait for this freaking season, Ira. Now, you mentioned Big Storm Brewery. You were there the other night in Newport Richie at their fantastic location on Success Drive. Now, I have a meeting, Ira, on Friday to finalize the dates for your watch parties where you're going to be watching games with Bucks fans at Big Storm Brewing Company. Most of them are going to be in Clearwater, Ira, but we're nailing down the final details, and next week we will have a schedule and all kinds of fun stuff. So looking forward to that, and their beers are out. The Mandarin Sour is a new beer. I'm drinking one right now as we speak, Ira. It's very mild. It's not like the Brumosa. It's not in that caliber, but it's really good. It's a good after you mow the lawn beer. I'm just going to call it that. Fun stuff.
We just hired a guy to mow our lawn. My wife doesn't want me working up a sweat in the summer months. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet of her, Steve? I ain't got much of a lawn either, by the way, just as a sidelight. By the way, speaking of Big Storm, and Lee, this is a point that needs to be shouted from the rooftops, point that Izbitz cannot deny, and he loves to push back, but he cannot deny. When we were at Big Storm the other night, Izbitz says, I got it. I took some food to go. I had a Brumosa. Izbitz says, I got it. The other guy that we were sitting with, he said, I got the bill. One bill, I'll take it. Steve, I want it confirmed loud and clear to Buck Nation. I reached into my pocket, and I pulled out a sweet $20 bill and laid it on that table. Did I not, Mr. Izbitz?
Congratulations, Ira. You paid for your Reuben.
I don't want this implication that I'm a cheapskate just because, Lee, when I go to these watch parties, of which we will do them at Big Storm, and looking forward to it during the season when the Bucks are on the road. Lee, when I'm at these watch parties, I never reach into my pocket. I got Buck fans buying me food, they're buying me drinks, but I just don't want it out there that butterflies are flying out of my wallet. That's not true, DeKemper. Not true.
All right, Ira. You and your nonsense over here.
I got a reputation to preserve over there, Stephen, and it's important.
BigStormBrewery.com is the website, BigStormBrewery.com. You can find all their beers with their storm tracker. And, of course, when you go to Bill Curry Ford to get your car service done or to go shopping for a vehicle or whatever it might be, you can enjoy lunch at the Big Storm Cafe, fantastic food, A-plus coffee, great environment. You can talk football with Sean Sullivan while they refinance your car loan or while your wife's out on a test drive, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, you wrote a column about Byron Leftwich and, you know, the spotlight on him and the high responsibility he's got. And I think it's just a fair reality that with the NFL's emphasis over the last handful of months trying to fix their situation with what they believe is a slight of minority coaches and just a system that isn't rewarding these coaches or putting them in a pipeline to get head coaching jobs. And on top of what's been going on in the world in the last couple of weeks, you have to think that Leftwich really is going to be high on everyone's list and a stronger candidate if the Bucks have a good year. And that's really sort of what you wrote about.
There's no question. Now, that pipeline you've been talking about, Steve, it's leaky. It's a busted pipe. And that by that, I mean, you know, you usually jump up from the coordinator level. And as far as offensive coordinators in a league that preaches offense by the very nature of the rules that they pass by the competition committee, always trying to enhance the number of points that are scored in this league, always. Never give a break to the defense. Impossible. There's only two black offensive coordinators, Lee. Bienemy in Kansas City, who does not call the plays, and Byron Leftwich here in Tampa, who does have play-calling responsibilities. Lee, I'll say this. Some people might say, well, the Bucks could win 11 games, and Brady will get all the credit, and it'll tarnish what people think about Leftwich, and all he did is go along for the ride, and Brady runs the offense. I don't see it that way, Lee. I think if the Bucks are successful and if they match the expectations of the quickie poll that Joe Bucksan put out today, I think Leftwich has a very good chance to be rewarded. I think it would mean that the offense was very efficient, which I don't think you would use that word for the 2019 offense. It was prolific but not efficient, if you get my drift. They're not going to have 41 giveaways. They're not going to lead the league in turnovers and finish minus 15 again. You wouldn't think, because that's not Tom Brady. He just never does that, a Brady team. You know, 10, 11 wins, a playoff spot, Lee, a pretty good offense, working with Brady, improving the run game. I think it would set Leftwich up in good stead. Now, the reverse is also true, Lee. They go 7-9. They go 8-8. I think Leftwich is very much a long shot to go anywhere, to even get a sniff at a head coaching job. Lee, he's got a lot on the line with this Brady experiment. No question about it.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Leftwich has a lot on the line. And I know Steve might gag when I say this, but Todd Bowles has any kind of decent defense. He's a candidate. I think I said this on a previous pod, and I'll say it again. The best thing the NFL can do to help minority coaches, I don't want to say minority because that's negative connotation. You cannot interview, you cannot seek out, you cannot hire any coach at all until after the Super Bowl is over, day after. No interviews, no contact, no hiring. Don't tell me that they needed those extra 3 or 4 weeks to go over the scouting tapes and all that nonsense. How do teams, when they win the Super Bowl, how do they prepare? Like, oh my gosh, we can't draft. We only got a couple more weeks or a couple less weeks. We can't draft. I'm sorry. Roger, help us out. We need some extra time for the draft. No. No interviews, no contact, no hiring until the Monday, 6 o'clock a.m., the day after the Super Bowl. Because a lot of these guys who deserve credit, deserve new jobs, and I think we could all argue that the enemy was one of them last year. He was handcuffed because the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl. To me, it's as simple as that. And
very interesting, Lee. Now, Steve, can't you just hear some of these teams saying, wait a minute. You're going to make us wait till February 6th. It's a competitive disadvantage. We're behind the eight ball with a new coach, and we wanted to hire somebody on January 4th. So you can just hear them screaming now.
Well, I think it's a strong idea by Lee, and frankly, competitive balance, as long as it's equal for everybody hiring a coach, then it's going to open up a lot of doors. And like Lee said, if that's going to ruin your season, then you don't have a good organization.
And on top of that, new coaches do get extra OTA time, and I think they get an extra couple days of training camp too, if I'm not mistaken.
And you know what? A big complaint about the coaches is, oh, we got to hire them fast so they can hire their coordinators and get all their assistants lined up. Well, if everybody's any candidate would have more time to put together his potential staff. And, you know, we heard, Dave Moore talked about it. He was very impressed with Arians, and because Todd Bowles had a job lined up somewhere else, And when Arians got this job, Bowles said the hell with it and came to Arians. So the coaches can still work all their own deals on the side among themselves. But if you do limit the teams to, hey, you don't talk to anybody till after the Super Bowl, not only would it create a new media window, a media frenzy for the league as far as action in February, when they don't usually get a lot of action after the Super Bowl.
Drama and suspense.
Yeah, and it would build a lot of drama, suspense, rumors, all kinds of stuff. So I like it.
Intrigue.
I like it. All right, Ira, you know, this is goofy, but, you know, you've been around the league a few years longer than Rick Goslin. This is your 53rd year covering the NFL. And Arians was talking on Alabama radio, and he was talking about, hey, he was asked about, how do you manage the hype? And he said, oh, the hype's fine. You embrace it. And then once you get together with the guys, you lay out the day-to-day plan and you shake it off and you focus. But the way he explained it is, and since we already know that he doesn't like to be on these Zoom calls and he's not talking to the team yet because he wants to wait till he's in person, well, that's sort of letting all the hype linger and it keeps building. And so instead of these guys coming in late April and having the coach crack him in the ass and, the hype's over, let's get back to work, now there's 3 extra months of hype. Do you think that affects the mindset of these players?
I think it could be an issue, guys. I just do. I know that Arian says repeatedly, basically every interview I've ever heard him on, we got a great locker room. Jason Light echoes those thoughts. Great locker room, great locker room. That's easy to say, but do they? I think it's a fair question. Certainly in 2017, they didn't have the kind of locker room that could deal with any kind of success in terms of a strong finish to 2016. They made a few bad free agent acquisitions. That had an effect. They didn't handle it well. The 2003 Bucks, they didn't handle it well. They were miserable. They were 7-9. That's not a defending Super Bowl champion. In the words of Simeon Rice, we were too busy watching the confetti come down. One of the great quotes from Simeon.
That is a great quote.
That's a great quote. Well, now look, there ain't been no confetti in Tampa since George Bush was in the White House, gentlemen, and that's a while ago. But
certainly a lot of toilet paper used.
Steve, to your point, I don't know. I'm not getting any kind of sense of urgency right now from this organization. I don't know what other franchises are doing. To me, you got to be proactive, and you got a new quarterback coming to town. You got a new tight end that's going to supposedly play a prominent role. You got some rookies who are also supposed to contribute immediately. Guys, they better get to work over here. I mean, you don't want to wait until July 21st, Lee, because Arians has already talked about missing 400 reps. You got to make them up somehow. That's going to be hard enough to do. I'm missing a little sense of urgency, Lee.
I know what you're talking about, Ira, but what can they do?
Well,
they're like every other team. They're stuck on Zoom, and there's not much you can get out of Zoom. Like, hey, what'd you have for breakfast today?
I'd like to see some more activities from the team outside of the facility.
Olsen was pumping weights with three guys you couldn't pick out of a lineup.
Well, we don't know if Brady's working out. It's not at Berkeley Prep because he's been found out there.
Channel 8 is scraping so bad for news. They sent a film crew out to get some tape of Goldston pumping weights with nachos and two dudes. You'd have no idea who they were if you didn't tell them.
My money's on O'Donnell. O'Donnell's the man. If they're working out, they'll find
Lucas out there. Can't wait.
But we can't wait for this season to start. We just can't. The hype, the curiosity, Brady in a different uniform. I mean, it's very, very intriguing. We think it's going to be very entertaining. We don't know if the fans are going to be allowed in the building, but we're going to watch this team very closely, and we can't wait to get started.
All right, Ira, as we get closer to getting started, of course, we start to look at what could be late additions, pre-training camp additions. We've talked about Devontae Freeman. Wanted to ask you guys both, have you heard any kind of scuttlebutt, any kind of angles, any kind of new thoughts about Freeman?
All right, I want to make something very clear. In the words of Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men, which, by the way, I believe is on television every day. Every day, A Few Good Men is on television. Usually it's on TBS. It could be TNT. It could be USA. Every freaking day, you can see Nicholson give that great speech at the end of A Few Good Men. And one of the phrases he uses is, are we clear? And Tom Cruise says, crystal. Crystal clear. So, Steve, I want to make myself crystal clear on the subject of one Devonta Freeman.
I have never said, and I don't think the three of us have ever said, that the Bucks have been heavily involved in negotiating for Devonta Freeman's services. We've never said that. What I'm saying, the Bucks should have interest in Devonta Freeman if the price is right, which it isn't at the current moment. And I believe Bruce Arians indicated exactly that last week when he didn't dismiss the idea of signing Devonta Freeman, but instead pointed out the cost of signing Devonta Freeman. It's not that they're not interested, it's that they have to reach a certain agreement financially, and then they're interested. So I think he fills a role, which is not to be the primary back. That's Ronald Jones' job to lose, going into training camp. And Bourne will take some of the carries that Peyton Barber had understood. But what Freeman's good is at moving the chains, catching passes, good hands, and I can just hear some Buck fans saying right now, he doesn't block well, he doesn't block well. Well, guess what? When Freeman's in the game on third down, I don't want him blocking. How do you like that? I want him going out to the flat, or I want him zigzagging on a linebacker and giving Brady another option when protection breaks down. I'm not bringing in Devonta Freeman to block, gentlemen. Nobody ever said anything about Sandy Koufax couldn't hit in 1965 and batted 057. Who the hell cared? That's not what you're paying him for. So I don't want to hear this nonsense about Freeman blocking. Is anybody worried about Ezekiel Elliott blocking? Is anybody worried about Christian McCaffrey blocking? No. Get this guy out on a pass pattern and let Brady do his thing, of which he's the best in the business at finding these guys on these intermediate passes. He can fill the James White role, and he can do it very, very well.
Ira, you've made my week. You've made my week. Your soliloquy, your rant was right from my heart. I've been saying this for years. I don't want to hear a damn thing about a running back blocker. I don't want to hear him about running. You know, running back, that's his name, not blocking. You know, this mentality, and I love Dirk Cutter. Don't be, I really like Cutter. Cutter did a lot for me. This is not disrespecting Cutter. But Cutter was always so hung up on a running back blocking. I think he actually said that's the most important value for a running back, is blocking. So he wouldn't draft Eric Dickerson because he couldn't block. Is that what you're telling me? You wouldn't draft Barry Sanders because he couldn't block? Now, I don't know if they couldn't block, but who the hell cared? They could run, and run well. And that just drives me wild when I hear that. You know, son of a gun, as far as Freeman, he may be toast, he may be over the hill, but here's where I'm coming from. I have zero confidence in the Bucks running game. And no, I don't care.
Why should you, Lee?
Thank you, Ira. Thank you very much. You know, okay, they drafted this guy out of this Vaughn, out of Vanderbilt. You know, there's a hell of a program. And, you know, third round pick, I get it. But what's he done? He hasn't even won a practice jersey yet, to the best of my knowledge. So you're banking everything on a third-round pick? I emphasize, third-round pick, and all of a sudden, because you got a third-round pick of a running back, that you have no inkling or desire to look anywhere else for any help? Is that what you're telling me? Now, let's take Seattle, for example. I think the Seattle organization kind of has an idea of what they're doing. Just a hunch. They kind of have an idea of what they're doing. They have a body of work. I would say they know what they're doing. Both Pete Carroll and the front office. I trust them. Not only did they have a 1,200-yard rusher last year, not only did they have a second running back who was a first-round pick, not a third, but a first-round pick, they also offered Devonta Freeman a contract. He turned it down. He wanted more money. Now, who
are you going to suggest has an idea that they know what they're doing? Is it the Bucks? You know, Doug Martin had two decent years and he looked really good playing in the sandbox one summer. Okay, fine. I would say Cadillac Williams is probably like, well, LeGarrette Blount. It was an accident. They didn't draft him, but still. I have no faith in the Bucks running game. I've said for months, I've written for months, the Bucks need to draft a guy and they need to sign a guy. They drafted a guy, this Vaughn. I'm not expecting him to be, you know, Franco Harris. If he is, fantastic, great. But you know what? If he's a slug, then you've kind of covered yourself by going out and getting someone else, whether it's Freeman or whether it's somebody else. I mean, Ira, help me out. Because you got a third-round pick of a rookie, does that mean your problems are automatically solved? I don't think so.
This gets lost in the shuffle. One of the main reasons I think the Bucks should have interest in Freeman at the right price is Brady's long history. Long. 15 years long with throwing the running backs. He excels at it. He's comfortable with it. He wants to do it. It's a big part of his repertoire. And there's been four or five New England backs over the years that catch 50, 60, 70 balls every season. And it's not always the same guy. And right now, Steve, to be fair, looking at the Buck roster, you got Jones, you've got Vaughn, who hasn't caught his first NFL pass, you've got Dare, and I don't see that guy. I don't see that skilled guy that's proven. So if you have a chance to get a guy at a reasonable, and I'm not giving Freeman $5 million, but his price is going to come down. And when it does, you try to squeeze him a little, and if you can, you sign him at your figure, not his figure.
I've heard this argument, and I believe this argument. First off, I don't think the Bucks are, you know, maybe Arians is, but other people in the organization, I don't think they're overly in love with Freeman, and why that is, I'm sure they have their reasons. But I think what could be, and I don't know the answer to this, what could be the barrier to signing Freeman? I do know that if you're a backup and you can't play special teams, you've got a target on your back immediately. You're already a bubble guy. Freeman hasn't played special teams since he was a rookie. If you believe the numbers on Pro Football Reference, most people do, he hasn't played a snap, literally has not played a snap of special teams since he was a rookie in 2014, I think that was. Yeah, 2014. So if that's the reason they're not going to get him, I understand that. I get that. And that's certainly a valid reason. But if they're not going to get him because they drafted a guy in the third round, check yourself. Come on.
Yeah, the special teams angle of it is interesting, mainly because the Bucks were so bad on special teams. Rick Goslin, your buddy Ira, who we talked about earlier, he had them ranked last in the NFL last year, so they certainly weren't good. And, you know, they've got a lot of players who don't play special teams. You know, Gronkowski's not going to be out there on special teams. Neither is O.J. Howard or Cam Brait running down making tackles. And we don't know if the rookie can play special teams at running back. Ronald Jones doesn't play special teams. Dare, of course, is the special teams captain. But they're not very deep in special teams. And, you know, and gosh, if they have one injury at cornerback, all of a sudden Ryan Smith is playing full-time corner. And you're probably not going to use him on special teams as much. So it's an issue, but you think there's ways to get around it, that having an experienced pass catcher out of the backfield, because this is really about one giant all-in experiment, you would think they would want Freeman, but, you know, you never know, Ira. But I thought your column a couple of weeks ago or last week said it best, or really slapped me in the face, when you wrote, nobody between... obviously, the rookies don't, but between Ogunbowale Wale and Ronald Jones, they haven't caught an NFL touchdown pass. That's something.
Have not. And even Freeman, who had a down year, 2019, he scored four times on pass reception. That's not a bad number.
No, it's a strong number for a running back. All right, Ira, now listen. What's very serious in the Tampa Bay area and across Florida is mold. Mold is a big deal. It's a killer in apartments, in homes. It becomes a problem. People blow it off, and then it gets out of control. You need a mold remediation licensed and insured specialist, not somebody who's going to just sort of contract it out and pretend they're a mold expert. Florida's Elite Restoration is a fantastic local company that specializes in this, Ira, and they are new sponsors of the podcast, joining our family. And I was screwed, Ira, big time in this industry because you know what? You have a leak, you have a problem, you call a plumber, they recommend somebody for mold. Next thing you know, you're signing a piece of paper you didn't read, you're getting ripped off. It was a disaster. I mean, a disaster. And so when I first talked to Florida's Elite Restoration and I realized that they were caring people who didn't do that and were had such a growing business because they don't rip people off and word of mouth is firing all over town, we were very excited to bring them on board. Josh Martin, the boss over there, who you know, Ira, you've had cocktails with him. He was an insurance adjuster for 14 years, 20 years in the industry. They are just doing it right at Florida's Elite Restoration. Now, we're going to talk more about them as we go forward. But if you have any kind of water, don't say it's not that bad. Make the call. They'll come out absolutely free. They will check it out. You know, it's better to deal with it and let the insurance company pay for it than to wait too long. Then the insurance company won't pay for it. They'll try to screw you. And just call. Make the call. Have them check it out. Florida'sElitereStoration.com is the website, just the way it sounds, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Ira, you got any mold?
I don't have any mold, but I've got some penicillin in the refrigerator. speaking of mold, shouldn't the Bucks have called Josh in 2013? And they might have been able to stop Mercer in its tracks that year and saved Greg Schiano a lot of heartache in the process.
I didn't think of that. It's possible. You met Josh, you know, I know you have a way of sizing people up, Florida's Elite Restoration. He was wearing the logo shirt. Did you get a good vibe, Ira?
I got a very good vibe when he said he would pay for my Reuben. I can say that. But I didn't let him, Steve. I didn't let him. He brought his lovely wife to meet the two of them, vibrant people. He seems like an honest sort, Steve. And I can't imagine a region of the country where this is a bigger problem than in the Sunshine State, maybe Texas. Humid, we know what's going on. A day like today, I checked the temperature an hour ago. It was 91, and the feel-like was 103. I mean, that's typical. Those are conditions that are very conducive to mold. He says his business is thriving. I have no doubt that he's telling the truth. I absolutely welcome him as a sponsor. He loves the site. He loves the podcast. And it was great meeting them the other night.
You got all your fans, Ira. Your fans are everywhere. It's amazing, Sage.
Steve, along those lines, you know what struck me? One of the things that, and Lee, you haven't heard this yet. I hope you're sitting down, DeKemper. I happened to ask Josh right in front of Steve, halfway through our little chat over Brimosas. Josh, do you remember me from the Tampa Tribune? No, I never heard of you. Unbelievable. No, I never heard of you until you joined Joe Buck's fan. Lee, what's going on in this world? What the heck is going on around here? Should I take that as an insult, DeKemper? What's going on?
No, there's a lot of people, Ira, that don't read newspapers, and they didn't when the Tribune was around. That so obviously they didn't. They may have heard you on radio once in a blue moon. Maybe didn't know your name, knew your voice.
Steve, I put 25 years of sweat into that paper.
All right, Sage. Now, look, we got a hint, Ira, and a good look at some of these new NFL protocols that were sent to teams to deal with the coronavirus and returning to the facilities. And a lot of that includes media, some of it anyway. And it's really going to be different, Ira, for all the players. And I think it's another adjustment that they'll all have to get used to as they're trying to build this instant chemistry in a hurry with Tom Brady, because frankly, those rules say that everybody's supposed to wear a mask in one buck. That's what it says. Players included, when they're in the facility, they're supposed to wear a mask as often as possible. They're supposed to have this full social distancing in the facility, so we know that 90 guys aren't going to fit in the locker room. They're probably going to end up having multiple locker rooms. They want teams to have as many meetings as they can outside. Have spent as much time as you can outdoors. You know, I don't know. Maybe the Glazers put up a big circus tent and get the fans cooling out there, or they set up a classroom situation in the indoor facility to do more of that. I don't know, Ira, but you know what? It also says that media there is going to have to wear masks, and obviously in the facility, and if they're going to adhere to social distancing, it means they're going to have to cut that media room people, the amount of people allowed in there, at least in half. And it's just not going to look anything like it's supposed to. And for a team like the Bucks that's trying to build this chemistry in a hurry, because everybody keeps telling us that the culture was so horrible with the last quarterback, and then it needs an overhaul, and Brady's going to be a wizard. I mean, he's not even able to do it the way he might do it normally. It's really going to just be amazing to watch, except we won't get to see it.
This is going to be one weird, wacky season, gentlemen. Guys, after reading four pages, four full takes of NFL protocol, nobody in the world, including Dr. Fauci, can try to suggest that the NFL isn't taking COVID-19 seriously. Guys, I mean, it was alarming. Well, I don't know if alarming is the right word, but it was eye-opening. It was absolutely eye-opening to see in great detail, starting with the 6 feet in between lockers. I mean, look, the Buck locker room at One Buck Place, it is a large, large room. It's enormous.
At the stadium.
At the stadium. Having said that, you know, they don't have 53 players in August. They're going to have 95 players in August. And how they're going to pull this off is beyond me. They're going to have to use rooms besides the locker room. As far as the media, which the fans don't care, and rightfully so, about our issues, watching training camp is going to be problematic, gentlemen. going to the locker room, I think that's a non-issue at this point. I think that's already been decided, and I think that'll carry on into the regular season. Kemper, your days of taking on Mike Evans on that ping-pong table are over. Kemper, they're over. But I don't think fans care about that, nor should they. We love to complain about our jobs, but, you know, there's 30 million people that would do it for nothing.
Well,
we have to remember that.
I'm not sure watching training camp will be problematic, Ira. I mean, you weren't on the 30-yard line grinding it out, talking to players, you know.
I was doing play-by-play over there, Stephen. Play-by-play. Come on now.
But when you read that, though, I think it makes it pretty clear they're not going to let fans in if they're committed to the distancing and the masks at headquarters. It's just almost goofy. And when you combine it with the fact the Bucks had the biggest coaching staff in the NFL, and these preseason games, are they going to be going on two planes? I mean, and even during the regular season, I've flown on the Buccaneers team plane. I flew home courtesy of the team back from Charlotte a couple of years ago. And, you know, the team plane is packed, absolutely packed. Now they've got, the whole crew that flies with the club and the trainers and all that stuff. And I don't know, is it going to mean two planes? They just have a lot to deal with. And I only worry about it because of the chemistry that we keep being told that Tom Brady is going to have this heroic chemistry and his heroic job of leadership. Everything's just going to make it a little that much harder for him. You know, I wonder if he's going to start doing some things off site. Maybe the teams will get together more when they're out of the facility doing some more outings where they don't have to follow those guidelines.
We don't want to get too morbid on this podcast, gentlemen, but realistically speaking, I think I'd be a little concerned about guys like Tom Moore and Bruce Arians. We know what the coronavirus statistics are in terms of how hard it hits people that are, past 60, 65. I'm right there with them, guys. It's not like I'm excluded, but, you know, that's a real danger. So it is going to be a season like we've never seen in the league's 100-year history.
I got a question for you, Ira. And when I get going here, I'm not against this guy. You mentioned his name, and there's a lot of people who don't like this guy, and I'm not one of them. I think he's professional. I think he's given the best advice he can give. I don't think he has an agenda. But this Fauci, the czar of viruses or whatever,
Right.
Do you think he practices social distancing? The reason why I ask that, has he ever looked like he needed a haircut?
Well, he's always
got a nice trimmed hair, and you know, after about 3 months, you think the guy's getting kind of shaggy.
From what I know, I trust the guy. I do trust the science, and by consensus, he's the authority on this thing. But Lee, leave it to you to look at a man's hairline and decide that he's a hypocrite.
No, I am not saying he's a hypocrite. This is like, you know, after a while, people are getting kind of shaggy. I was getting there, and after 2 months, it's been 3 months. Like, man, that guy never needs a haircut. He looks coiffed very well, you know.
Maybe his wife's a hairdresser, the Kemper. We don't know these things.
Yeah, that's true. I guess your wife doesn't count you a 6 foot distancing.
Not in Ira's household. That's what he's going to tell you. Not in my house. I don't know, Ira. The science. Come on, everybody's just winging it here, which is it's just comical. Look, you got players; they're going to line up in practice. Okay, here we've got Vita Vea lined up against Ali Marpet, and they both want to impress. Okay, they're locking horns, man. They're spitting on each other. They're screaming. They're moaning. They're right in each other's face, and then they got to go back inside and wear a mask. It's almost comical. It really is.
Sweating on each other. Sweating on each other, bleeding on each other.
You know, we're realistic that the protocols are going to last about a day and a half. I give it a day and a half. 36 hours. Next thing you know, this guy doesn't have a mask. This guy's grabbing the doorknob without gloves. I mean, it's pretty draconian. If you read it, and I think our listeners are going to be able to see it themselves online. It is very detailed and very harsh.
And frankly, I think that's the number one reason you're not going to see media in the locker room this year.
Because we're slobs?
No, because the media is going to say, oh, we saw at least 10 players not social distancing and wearing their masks. So there's going to be a lot of that going on, and I don't blame the league for trying to insulate itself from that kind of distraction. And, you know, of course, the league's going to create some sort of fine structure.
And Steve, not just distraction, but liability issues, too.
And when I read that protocol, Ira, my first thought was, what the hell is Hard Knocks going to look like this year? Everybody wearing a mask? You know, I on the cameras all across the
yeah, air, really.
It's going to be hilarious, crazy.
I mentioned this to Ira once before, and there's a guy that I can't remember. I tweeted something out about possible empty stadiums or maybe half full, and some guy replied to me, "Oh, just get this over with and put people in there. It's nonsense." And my reply to him was, "Never ever underestimate the cost of legal retainer fees and insurance premiums."
You know, looking back, guys, I think Swaggy Baker probably should have worn a mask in 2017 because he sure stole money from the Buccaneers.
He may have worn the mask when he signed his contract. Okay, Ira, here's one for you. And I want to say it was Skip Bayless. He said, you know, I think it had to have been Skip Bayless because I wrote a story this morning about Aaron Donald and, you know, I guess the pro football frauds, they say Donald is the best player in the NFL and Brady's only the 24th, and I'm a big Donald fan. I agree with that. And Skip Bayless is arguing Brady's more valuable than Aaron Donald, and you went up to the Rams and you said, hey, you could trade for Pat Mahomes one-on-one for Aaron Donald. They couldn't pull the deal off quick enough. Skip Bayless claimed Aaron Donald isn't that much better than Vita Vea.
Oh, boy. You know who would argue with him? Vita Vea. I mean, come on.
Well, I know that it's ridiculous to say V is as good as him, but his argument was, if you take a defensive tackle off your team, as long as you have your quarterback, you're going to be okay. And, you know, Donald, how many years was he the dominant defensive player in the game, and yet the Rams were horrible? So I get that point, but he was saying that if, let's say, the Bucs, you know, and he was talking about, you know, would they even trade Brady one-on-one for Aaron Donald, the Bucs, the Rams? He said the Bucs would tell him, go. Bayless said that if the Rams called up the Bucs and said, we'll give you Donald and Goff for Brady, they'd tell him to go take a hike. And Bayless was saying, Donald isn't that much better than Vea.
Well,
Well, he didn't say he was as good. He was saying basically V is very underrated.
Lee, when they do the top 100 players, they don't attach positions to them, you know, in terms of importance. They don't give Brady bonus points because he's a quarterback. But, mm-hmm. of course, when you're talking about a league that's quarterback-driven, that's where value comes in. But, you know, Jerry Rice was the best player in football for much of his career, and yet you wouldn't argue that he was more valuable than Joe Montana because the 1984 49ers, one of the greatest teams of all time, the one that beat up on Marino's Dolphins, Jerry Rice wasn't on that team. He wasn't even on that team. And he came in 85. And, you know, you have Montana. So they won. And just like they won in the 81 team.
Montana, so they won.
It's a silly argument because you can't ding Aaron Donald because he's a defensive tackle. I mean, that's not
fair. Mm-hmm. I took it as not so much a knock on Donald when he said, hey, you know, Vita Vea isn't that much worse, or Donald isn't that much better. I didn't so much take it as a knock on Donald. I took it as a compliment to Vea.
I'm stunned that Bayless knows who Vita Vea is. I'm stunned. look, I just wrote a column, you know, within the last 2 weeks that I think Vita Vea is on the cusp of the Pro Bowl, and it would certainly help in that regard if the Bucs do go with double-digit win. I think I'd be a little surprised if Vea didn't make the Pro Bowl. Stays healthy and the Bucs win 10 or 11 games, it's definitely going to enhance the stature. I think he's close as it is. But Aaron Donald is special, guys. J.J. Watt in his prime was special. Three-time defensive player of the year. But you know, what are you going to say? What'd the Texans do? Who cares about Watt? The Texans didn't do anything. No, that's not fair. That's not fair to J.J. Watt. That's not fair to Aaron Donald. He's a unique player. I think he's the closest thing we've seen to Warren Sapp since Sapp retired.
Mm.
And I'm not sure Sapp wouldn't even agree that Donald might be better than him. It'd be tough for Sapp to admit that. He might do it grudgingly.
Gerald McCoy.
Now, come on, Steve. But I am stunned that Bayless knows Vita Vea. And you know what, Steve? My interpretation is Bayless must have read my column.
Hey, Ira, this is 2020, man. If you're in the national media, you got to be up to speed on the Bucs, or you're going to look bad in a hurry. So it doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me at all that some of these guys.
Hold on. I'd like to add something, and I don't know if you guys heard this, but I guess it's been about 3 weeks since I went on a show on Sirius with Alex Marvez and Vic Carucci. Lee, you know that show.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a weekend show.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on to talk about Brady and the Brady impact on the Bucs. And Marvez was giving me this flowery introduction. He didn't focus on me. He focused on the site.
Oh, wow.
And Marvez was kept going on and on about this is the site to go to if you want Buck information. They're unbelievable. I think he used that word. They update constantly. And it was very refreshing for a guy like Marvez, who's very familiar with all kinds of sites for all 32 teams, to lavish that kind of praise on Joe Bucs fans. So you boys need to take a bow on that.
He's a good man, Alex Marvez. Good guy.
Ira, isn't it kind of interesting how all the big national players in NFL media think Joe Bucs fan is just brilliant, and they read it all the time? Yet the local guys think we're a clown show. We have no clue what we're doing or talking about. Isn't that interesting?
I think they're nervous. I think they're jealous. Their numbers are slipping away, and ours are going up. The reason, and it's not going to change either.
I'll never forget when at the Super Bowl in Arizona, Bernie Miklos pulled me aside, and this was, you know, he was coming to a T intersection in the road about whether he should stay with the Post-Dispatch or take a buyout. He was unsure what he was going to do. He picked my brain for over an hour, how we got started, why we were successful, what we did. I mean, he was all over me, just like, what do you do here? What do you do there? What about this? What should I do? Not only was I humbled, I always thought, well, here's the guy everybody and their brother respects in journalism, and he wants to know everything about Joe Bucs fan because he wants to mirror us, in a sense, to be successful. You don't go into business to fail, and some people, they wouldn't give us the time of day. Oh, well.
Ira,
I'll just say this. I respect Bernie. Always have, always will.
Ira, I even had a couple of national guys say to me, what are you doing hiring Kaufman? You're going to tear the brand down. You're going to ruin it. Ruin Joe Buck's fan.
Well, along those lines, I had people tell me not to join Joe Buck's fan because it's going to destroy my brand. So I didn't listen to him, and I'm glad I did.
Now you have a new brand, and you got a new car from Bill Curry Ford, 0% financing all month long, and you can buy Ira's identical 2020 cherry red Ford Escape. Sean Sullivan's ready to help you. BillCurryFord.com. Family service. I can't even imagine going anywhere else at this point, Ira. They take care of you from top to bottom, including car insurance. Bill Curry Cares, auto, home, car insurance, life insurance. Fantastic.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ira, you were talking about the eggheads around here, and I've said it politely, or saying not to do business with Joe Buck's fan because it would hurt your brand. Number one, I didn't see any of those guys offering a job. Number two, I would suggest Steve and I have expanded your brand, enhanced it.
I would not argue that point, Lee. I would not.
Now you're the sage, Ira. You weren't the sage before. You were just Ira. Come on, just Ira. All right, Ira, now we are marching toward training camp. I mean, it's unbelievable. Officially, the NFL isn't putting out any dates, but Arians, of course, spilled the beans. So Bucks fans know July 21st is the reporting date. So we can all get excited about that. And last question, Ira, you can go out on this. We've talked a lot about Devonta Freeman. We heard your passion. We heard Lee's passion. But you know what? You could also say the Buccaneers secondary, the thinness there, somebody could make an argument that the lack of depth there is more important than the lack of depth at running back. You could make the argument. You could play it both ways. Does that lack of depth give you any concern, and do you think the Bucs might address that before they address running back?
I'll tell you a critical factor in that regard. Justin Evans. I think the Bucks have to make a decision about this guy, and I'm not going to be very patient if I'm Bruce Arians. I've basically never seen Justin Evans play in front of me.
He's never practiced, has he, for Arians?
Well, yeah, practice, but I mean...
No, seriously, has he practiced?
Yeah, he had
He
had a couple of practices, OTAs, or I think mini camp, and that was it.
Okay.
You know,
okay. So never a bad practice.
I would not be surprised if Arians has Evans on a short leash. He better show him something within the first week or two of training camp. Arians doesn't want to hear he'll be okay in October. He doesn't want to hear it. And we've talked about slow starts for this franchise more than almost any other topic. You can't go 1-3 in September. And I'm not carrying a safety that's not going to be able to help me week one. A safety without a large body of work. I mean, we're not talking about Tyrann Mathieu here. If Evans shows that he's healthy, all of a sudden safety doesn't look too bad. Gentlemen, you got Whitehead. You've got Winfield, who's going to have every chance to contribute immediately. And as far as corners, Steve, I think what you're trying to say maybe is they're missing a veteran. And I know, Lee, that's been a big sticking point for you. And I think rightfully so. Some people say, well, you don't need a veteran if you got the right young players. Well, there's only so much Kevin Ross can teach these guys, and I'd like to have somebody that's been through the wars and maybe played in some big games. That can help a little bit. Lee, I know you're a little ambivalent about that topic of leadership and chemistry, but they have bodies. They've got young corners that improved as the season went by. You like to see that, but they don't have our veterans in that room that can amplify what the coaches are saying. And again, Lee, I think Justin Evans, we got to figure out what's going on with this guy.
If Justin Evans can stay healthy, he's on the team. Can you trust him to stay healthy? And that's my issue with Justin Evans. Can you trust him to stay healthy? I would suggest no, you can't.
This guy was a premium draft pick, Lee. Premium.
Still. I mean, if you can't stay healthy, you can't stay healthy. I don't care if it's an undrafted free agent or a top five pick. Entman from Indianapolis, linebacker, he was always hurt, and he was like, what, number one pick overall or number two pick overall. But still, you can't keep kicking the can down the road with Justin Evans. I know they want him to be healthy. You know, they don't want to give up on a guy with that kind of talent. But if he can't stay healthy, what's the point? I always quote this, and people get upset with me. I always quote Bill Parcells. My favorite Bill Parcells quote: "Your best ability is your availability. Doesn't matter how good you are. If you can't get on the field, it doesn't matter." So I don't think realistically they can bank on Justin Evans, and I think that was demonstrated when they drafted Winfield in the second round. Nor should they bank on Evans. Evans has to prove to the Bucs that he can play and stay healthy. That's my standpoint with Justin Evans.
Personally, I would not bank
on him at all.
I get you. Steve, I got a better quote from Parcells than availability. How about this one? "Hey, Sims, get your head out of your ass." That's the Parcells quote that I'm going to remember.
I thought it was going to be your famous story of you in the elevator with Parcells, but you can...
I was thinking about that one, but I'd have to tell the whole story again. Maybe next podcast.
Yeah, maybe next podcast. You know what, Ira? I'm not thinking veteran anymore. I'm really not. I'm thinking just pure depth, because they brought back Ryan Smith. Okay, he's a fifth-year guy, but he sucks. I'm sorry. He sucks, and he's the fourth corner, and Jamel Dean was injury-prone in college. He got hurt last year. And it's just thin. I don't know
Where's MJ Stewart? Where's MJ Stewart?
Stop. Come on, Ira. Stop.
I'd bank on Justin Evans before I'd bank on MJ Stewart.
Sorry, gentlemen. Sorry.
I don't know. It just makes me nervous. It's something to think about. Another thing to think about, and I think we can get deeper on this next podcast, Ira, is Mark Dominic talked about it on Sirius XM NFL Radio. The physicals. You know, these rookies, they haven't had their physicals yet. No rookie has signed a contract for the Bucs. And a lot of guys haven't had their physicals. As Dominic said, you know, if you're a free agent that was signed, you know, some had physicals, but many of them are dying to get back in the building so they can make that contract official. And some teams might actually look to cut guys because, hey, they start get second thoughts. Well, we signed this guy in March, but now they're talking the salary cap will be a little bit less next year, and maybe we don't want to pay for him, and we didn't get a physical. Dominic speculated that maybe some guys will get cut because they'll fail a quote-unquote physical. As he said, you know, you can MRI most NFL players' backs, and you're going to find a bulging disc somewhere and be able to avoid a deal. So I don't know. Maybe there's somebody still out there. I don't think the Bucs are going to cut anybody, but it could be some other teams. It's something to think about. All right, Ira, next podcast, we will be reviewing, among many other things, but we'll be reviewing our predictions. We each made predictions for the 2019 season, and Javier, your buddy in Panama, sent them to us because he wanted us to hear us go over them to see how we scored. We each made key predictions, so that we'll have some fun with that, Ira.
I might skip that podcast, gentlemen.
All right, well, we thank Bill Curry Ford, your presenting sponsor of the podcast, and all your work at joebucksfan.com. BillCurryFord.com is the website. And just start shopping online. You're shopping anyway. Go to BillCurryFord.com. Nationwide lifetime warranty on all new and the vast majority of pre-owned vehicles. Sean Sullivan, GM. You can email him. He's right on the website. You can see his picture and send him a note or give a call to the dealership. Big dealership, plenty of distancing. They'll even get a car to your home to test drive, BillCurryFord.com. Final word, Ira Lee.
Welcome aboard, Josh. Welcome aboard.